Praise God. Amen? Amen. You don't want to be on my shoes this morning because I have a confession to make. I was sitting down there saying, what am I going to do now? I was out-preached by a little kid. I don't know, brother. I think I'm very intimidated. But praise God, the Holy Spirit is awesome. Amen? I want to say that it is an enormous privilege for me to be standing here in front of you, presuming to be able, chosen, to bring the message. So I will praise God for two miracles this morning. One, he's going to translate this message in the best English I ever spoke in my life. Amen. Okay? So if you do not comprehend me, get with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I claim that promise. Number two, it is amazing that God can use a broken vessel such as I to stand before you. Okay? I'm no better, but I know better. Amen? I want to say thank you for the church leadership for the invitation and for the church membership for the embracing of our ministry with y'all this morning or almost this afternoon. So we have a conflict. What to do? I was made aware that 12 noon, we cease. So how many of you can give me a few extra minutes past 12? I need to see hands here. It's a democratic. And those of you who do not raise your hands, I take it that you will allow me to go on. Amen? The Church of Beaumont is a church that comes very dear to my heart because I just understood that y'all had a fellow Brazilian pastoring you for not too long ago. Is that true? I hope he did me proud. If he didn't, it's on him, not on me. A while back, we came in, and then here's what happens when you do not cross all the T's and dot all the I's. I was commissioned to be preaching here a while back. I don't know how many of you were here. How many months ago was that? It was last year, right? Yeah. And when you ride the motorcycle, you know, space is at a premium. So you really have to only carry the essentials, a helmet and the glasses. Everything else is superfluous. So I asked my wife and said, you'll be tasked with a very important task this morning. You're going to take my iPad where my sermon is, you know, saved so I can have it when I get to the church. Well, we get to the parking lot, and my wife, who was already here because, you know, in the car you drive a little faster, and she had a frown on her face. And I said, what's wrong? She goes, I forgot the iPad. So here we have a messenger without a message. Have you ever been in that situation? But God is amazing because Brother Sinway was just made aware that he was going to bring the message that morning, and he did. And everybody had a blessing. So today, I made sure that I bought my iPhone, okay, the famous iPad, and then the old-fashioned printing that never fails. When everything else fails, the old-fashioned way is still there. Amen? God is amazing. And he's intentional. So if any of you came this morning thinking you had no better thing to do on your Sabbath morning, I got news for you. The Holy Spirit had this meeting already in place for you to be here. Do you believe that? Okay? Because this message was given to me, and because I loved it so much, I'm going to share with you. But remember, it is for me first. So let me hide behind the Holy Spirit. Let me hide behind the cross. And then let me share with you what the Holy Spirit has impressed my heart to share with you this morning. Can we do that? Let's see God's presence once again. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you as the Creator that have brought us together this morning. Jesus the Christ, we thank you and you praise you because you gave your life so we could have eternal life. Holy Spirit, we love you because you are the one who intercedes on our behalf. and you're going to be with us for all the ages. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. A simple case of identity theft or a mistaken identity. Do y'all remember a time when there was no internet, cell phones, and the electronic gadgets? Amen, right? There was a time, many of the young people here will not even relate, like, dark ages. But a while back, you know, we didn't have all this at our disposal. So you have to rely an old-fashioned way on documentation to prove your identity and all that. And this is a true story, okay? Happened this way. This young man had been burglarized, and his wallet was stolen with all his documents, ID, driver's license, and everything. And back in the days, it was such a hassle. You have to go back, you know, and apply for all that. He didn't have the convenience of today's technology. And he just now realized that he had to go home. It was martial law. There was a curfew. And for you to be out at night, you have to prove your identity if you were to be, you know, questioned. And he had a long walk home because he had no money to pay for the bus. So he had to walk. And he had to cross a very dark side and kind of a dangerous side of town. He knew about that. So he prayed. He was a Christian young man, and he went home. It was about a 40-minute walk between his workplace and home. And it just so happens that halfway, as it had to happen, you know, there was a blitz. The police was stopping people and asked for identification, and what business did they have to be outside the home after curfew, which you were allowed if you had a work and a work permit and all that. Well, the young man looked at the police officer and said, "You will not believe it, but I don't have my identity. I have no papers." And to make the matter worse, one of the police officers said, "You know what? I think I know him. He's one of the bandits that don't keep burglarizing the neighborhood." And they took him in. Oh, he protests. "No, I'm not. I'm a Christian young man." And he was taken to the police station. At the police station, a captain who happened to be a member of the church of that young man recognized him, but did not make himself known to him. And he told one of the police officers, take him to the booking, put him in jail, and then ask the following question. "If you claim to be who you are, then we're going to give a chance to get out of jail, a get out of jail card. You said you were Christian, didn't you?" "Yes, I am." "Okay, I want you to recite the Ten Commandments." Oh. You know, he could think of everything but the Ten Commandments. And he stayed there for a while. Well, the captain, after a while, felt like he had learned his lesson, came out and gave him a Bible and said, "You will get out of jail, but you're going to have to memorize the Ten Commandments." True story, a young man. If you were to be taken today to jail and be accused of being an outlaw, and the only way out was to recite a Bible verse or the Ten Commandments, would you be out of jail or you would not be out of jail? How about that? Identity, what is it? The dictionary says that it is the fact of being who or what a person is or claims to be. It is interesting that there is two components that defines you or who identifies you. One, who you are. Well, today when the brother came and asked, who are you? I jokingly say, "I'm guapo," which is handsome in Spanish. You don't have to agree with me, but that's my opinion. And then, but if you ask what my name is Stanley. So many of you will be identified by your name. And many of you will be identified by who you claim to be. A teacher, a doctor, a Seventh-day Adventist. And you have to show on your everyday dealing who you are. You have to identify yourself by not only your name, but who you claim to be. How many of you claim to be children of God? Okay, if you had a kind of a conflict of identity, the memory verse, not the memory verse, no, the scripture reading was for you. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and verse 10. I want you to memorize that. So if you ever have, you know, a middle age crisis, a identity crisis, I want you to refer to that. That's who you are, because that's God telling you who you are. Identity is a very important thing. And today in the U.S., just so you know, every 73 seconds, just a little over 1 minute, someone is having their identity stolen. Did you know that? So as we're worshiping, do the math. How many people have had their identity stolen just in these very short hours that we're here together? Every 73 seconds. Cybercrime is the most common crime in the U.S. today. It costs the government in excess of $16 billion every year. Okay? It's not bank robbery. It's not any other crime. It's just now someone behind the keyboard and the computer screen is stealing other people's identity. I remember I was at Academy trying to purchase an item, simple thing, and like we have become accustomed, we use plastic. The old-fashioned paper money is no longer being used as used to. So I hand the credit card to the cashier, and then she looks at me, and she looks at her screen, and then she looks at me again and goes, "I'm sorry, I have to cut your card." I said, "What happened? I should have plenty of money now and there." She goes, "This was, reported stolen." I said, "But that's my card. I earned it." And it just so happened that now someone had stolen my identity. I had no idea, in New York, and had run a $25,000 bill. How about that? On a weekend. Well, the bad thing was he was not a very smart, no thief, because he or she booked a party at a nightclub and used, my identity, my card. It's hard to be like me. So thank God that they were able to know there were cameras and all that, so did that. I became very, aware that, you have to be careful, because even when you are who you say you are, people don't know that you are. So as Christians, as we claim to be children of God, we have to walk and behave in such a manner that no one has any doubts whatsoever that, yes, they are children of God. How do your neighbors know you? By your name or by who you claim to be? It is interesting that now this identity theft is not a new business. It is a very old business. Do y'all remember in the Bible a case of stolen identity? Who remembers that? Who is it? Very good. She said Jacob, Esau. Who else? Anybody else? Another case of stolen identity, mistaken identity in the Bible? Very good. Rachel and Leah. One was offered to the husband as the other, right? Who else? Who? Very good. Okay. Wow, people are reading the Bible these days. Who else? Keep on going. There's more. Joseph, okay. Yes, very good. Who else? Come on. Did you know that back in the 70s, Seventh-day Adventists were known as the people of the Bible? Were you around in the 70s? Yeah. Is that true today? I hope so. Okay, who else? Case of a mistaken identity or stolen identity in the Bible. How about Samuel, or what appeared to be Samuel, showing himself to King Saul? Y'all remember that? He thought was Samuel, right? Was it really? No. But keep on going back. The first recorded case of stolen identity. Y'all with me? In the book of Genesis. Okay? Satan was the first one to introduce himself into this world, stealing the identity of a serpent. so he could have access to Eve. And by doing so, Satan stole the identity of Adam and Eve, who were children of God and now became the children of sin. You with me? It was the first case of stolen identity. Adam and Eve had been created by God to serve him, and they're being given, you know, the power, the dominion over the earth, and Satan took that away in one instant when Eve was so careless, it did not recognize the enemy behind the serpent. Jesus was a little bit worried about his identity. Go with me to Matthew 16, verse 13. And if someone gets before I do, get up and read for the whole congregation. Matthew 16, 13. Very good. So Jesus asked his disciples, you know, you've been going around the villages and around town. Who do people say I am? What am I known for? What's my identity within the people? Do y'all remember the answers given to him? Oh, one said that you're Elijah, Moses, or maybe one of the prophets. And then Peter could not miss a bit, right, to impress his master. He says, you are the Son of God. He declared the true identity of Jesus. It is important for you to know what your identity is. Who you are, who you belong to. You must identify yourself with the cause that you profess. For instance, we are AMM. It is our collective identity as we get on our motorcycles. We're not just the motorcycle bikers. We are Adventist Motorcycle Ministry. We have a code of conduct. We have a code of behavior that we have to adhere for, because people, when they look at us, everything about us has to give them a message that who we are. And it is interesting that we go to some events that now Christians do not go to. And some people frown upon it, but it is interesting that on these events, there is always someone who recognizes, you know, the logo, the name Adventist, or even the name ministry, because out there you have clubs, bikers club, not ministry. And it was interesting, last time we were in Galveston for one of the biggest gatherings of motorcycles in the nation, I think it's the fourth one, the Galveston, they call the Lone Star Rally. A young couple started talking to us, and this young man said, I'd be looking, searching for a church who keeps the Sabbath. He had rings everywhere, tattoos everywhere. This will be the one that will never be invited for potluck in church. You with me? But we were there. See, the Holy Spirit take you where the souls are, ready to be rescued from the hands of Satan. They are looking for their true identity, and we are there to provide them with that opening. I can tell you stories and stories about how God has led this ministry into people who've been searching for. There is an event in Houston called the Jericho Ride. How about that? Interesting name, right? For a bunch of motorcyclists to get together. And it is put together by a former addict, became Christian, him and his wife, and for the past several years, they were impressed upon, you know, the Battle of Jericho, when the people of God surround the city in prayer every day, and then on the Sabbath day, God gave them the victory. And so they do that. These people hold this ride on the Sabbath day. What a day for us, true Sabbath keepers, to be part of that. And I remember the first time we showed up. And it is something to see if you haven't been to a biker's event. You see all kind of color, shapes, and forms. Okay, a lot of flesh showing. It's a lot of things. I mean, it's really kind of it shocks you. They do not conform to the Christian, you know, mode. And on the first, it was a Sabbath day. And this is our Sabbath uniform, by the way. So we showed up with our little red ties, our logo, the vest, and here's a lot of bikers. And they're all Christians, by the way, but they are smoking. Some are not, has a beer. I mean, you know, they profess to be Christian, right? And this lady comes in and she said, you are distinguished, meaning you don't play the part. You look different. Something about you. And it was the chaplain for the Houston Sheriff Department. And she goes, may I take a picture of y'all together and publish on our newsletter? And she did. And then after that, we go to, after the ride, we pray for the city, over the city of Houston, we go to this little place and we have a worship. And we were a little bit out of our element because, you know, the way they worship is a little bit different than ours. So we're standing there, you know, and they are moving about and all that. And this one lady, she was a little bit put off, and she said, y'all think you're better than we? I said, no, man, we just know we're not used to worship this way, but we cool, we okay, and all that. And then, long story short, now she and her husband have been studying the Bible. Because they ask about, now, what is that? What's Adventist? What is that all about? And we try to resume, you know, little bullets. Well, we keep the Sabbath, the biblical Sabbath day. You know, we worship God on the Sabbath, which is this the day. And she goes, wow, my husband and I discovered the Sabbath, you know, through the Bible. We had no idea people kept the Sabbath. Isn't that something? There are many people out there that they do not know their true identity just yet. They are waiting for you and I to come in and tell them they are the royal priesthood. They are the ones elected to announce God's good news. The disciples' identity. The disciples at one point in time had no identity of themselves, just a group of people, fishermen, lawyer, tax collector, all, you know, get together. And the one thing made them known in the world that they lived in. In Antioch, people said, they all talk about Christ. What is that? Is Christ here? Is Christ there? They are Christians. That's how the name Christians came about. And it was not a good name, by the way. It was a put down. Because all they talked about was Christ. So from that point forward, they were known as Christians, the followers of the way. Are we Christians in the true sense of the word? Is everything in our lives about Christ? Is that what we say, what we talked about, what we live, what we preach? Are we Christians in our workplace? Or do we have just the name, the label? True identity. You must be identified with the cause. It is who you are or what you profess to be. The church identity. Who are we? How many of you know how we came to be a movement which is worldwide? Thank you, my brother. See, that's a true ministry. Came to rescue me. Thank you. This movement came out of a prophetic vision. 1863, a group of people studying the Bible, seeking the Lord, came together and took on what we call today a Seventh-day Adventist church. It's much bigger than you and I. It is a movement that was prescribed by heaven with a message for the world at this time. We are to announce two things to the world. Very simple message. You can add on to it, but there's two things that are central to us. Who can come up and tell me what it is? Come on. What's in our name? Very good. Seventh day, we are Sabbath keepers, right? Can we deny that? Identify ourselves, all the other people. Seventh-day Adventist. So we keep the Sabbath, which is going to be a major controversial theme at the end, right? Who you worship and what day you worship. That tells you who you belong to. Who are you identifying yourself with? And these days, there are many people out there who keep the Sabbath. But they don't have now the grace, the testimony of Jesus. What the Bible says is what? The Spirit? A prophecy. This church was brought in, and we should identify ourselves, you know, as such. So the churches were established back in the Acts in the faith, and the Bible says the Holy Spirit increased their numbers daily. They knew who they were, and they knew why they were brought together. When God created the man, the Bible says in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. All right. I'm not a photographer, but I appreciate a good photography. I can tell you that when you record, when you take a picture of something that's beautiful, it will always be beautiful. So at one point in time, Adam and Eve were now a photograph of God at his image. So as you look at me today, as you look around, can you see God's image in our bodies today? No. Sin has taken away that perfect image. Our identity as it was when we came out of the Creator's hand is no longer true. So the only thing we have to show a fallen world is what God can do with broken vessels, with fallen people. They are raised up by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit. And that's why Peter says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of what? Darkness. How is that now we have such a specific calling and many of us keep on crawling back into the darkness? He called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you want to identify with that calling? Do you want to be the royal priesthood? Do you want to be the holy nation? Do you want to be a peculiar people? Amen? John 3 verses 1 says, behold, what manner of love. It's one of my favorite, beautiful verse. Behold, what manner of love. This is the kind of love that John said, now take a look at it. That the Father, God, has bestowed upon us, Church of Beaumont, that's for you, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world know us not, because they know him not. Satan is the initial one that begins stealing the identity of God's people. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that it wasn't his plan to steal God's own identity. He said, I will put my throne above God's throne. Can you imagine? He has been on this task from ages. He's not going to change now. But the Bible has a promise for God's people. I would like for you to turn your Bibles into Isaiah 62, verse 2. If you ever in doubt of who you are, remember 1 Peter 1, chapter, verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, okay? I want you to make a note on your Bible, on the Sabbath school lesson, a little cheat sheet. Have that with you. Every time you doubt who you are and what you're being called for, you know, read that. But look at this. This was a promise made to the people in the Old Testament. Okay? And then we're going to have that promise reaffirmed for the people of the New Testament. So, for the people in the Old Testament, first. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a... Help me out. What it says there? Okay, a new name. Y'all remember that your identity is who you are or who you profess to be. So I am Stanley. I am identified as such. But look at this. God had promised his people they will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. So who were to be naming the people in the Old Testament? God himself. Is that clear? If they had remained faithful, if they have stayed the course, God was going to name them, each one of them. Now, if I had to stop my sermon here, I would do you a tremendous disservice. So let's go to Revelation 2, verse 17. And I want you to, if God, you know, allows you, never, ever forget this verse going forward until that day. Revelations 2, verse 17. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. I want to make sure that now I will kind of walk very slow on this verse because I want you to understand what's happening here, okay? He that has a ear, okay? Obvious, we all have that, don't we? So that's for you. Amen? Claim the promise. I want to hear you. Amen. Amen. What the Spirit says. So hear what the Spirit says. To him who overcome what? Talking about sin. It's not a possibility. It is reality. To him that overcome, I will give to eat the hidden manna, and I'll give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man know, saving he that received it. For God's grace, because it is by his grace, those of us, and I'm going to be bold, and I'm going to claim, all of us will overcome sin, not on our effort, but in God's grace. And we will receive a new identity. So, brother and sister, if you love your name, go ahead and start on getting used not to have it. Because God has your true name, your true identity, prepared, waiting for you. May God bless you. May you receive that new name. Amen.